All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Sandy Williams is with us. And, Sandy, I want to go back to the war. And I want to go back to the war and ask you, there's still this push by people on the right for the United States to get involved and send aircraft to Ukraine. Now, even though it's Poland and somehow, you know, Poland would send their aircraft and then America would replenish Poland's aircraft. Why is it that, you know, President Joe Biden and our military advisors, what is it that they see that these people who keep wanting to push the fact that we must send these aircraft, what are they missing, Sandy?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure it's just the right. I think the pressure is also coming from the left and the right, and I think it's more of a popular view. As I think when the war first started, I talked about how here we are watching David fight Goliath, and David makes a very appealing hero. And what the Ukrainian people are doing is both heroic and actually devastating for them. And so I can see why the world wants to do something to save these people from a fate that looks like it's inevitable. And the popular pressure to do that runs contrary to the diplomatic knowledge that more sophisticated diplomatic folks have about what the impact of that would be. You know, having a direct confrontation with Russia, we don't have Ukraine in NATO because we don't have the geopolitical interest in protecting every inch of Ukraine, much the way, you know, our president and vice president talk about protecting every inch of NATO. Ukraine isn't in NATO, and we haven't yet developed that level of geopolitical interest there. So, you know, it's contrary to our geopolitical interest to escalate the conflict with Russia. And yet there is obviously a popular view that we ought to be protecting the Ukrainian people in this situation where we've got David fighting Goliath. And so, you know, that's one of the dangers of this thing being prolonged. The longer it goes on, the more possible it is that political pressures in our country would push us in the direction of doing something that, I guess, from a diplomatic standpoint, would be viewed as reckless.
You know, Sandy, it is... the more you see it on television, the more part of you says, you know, and let's be honest, a lot of this comes from people's moral beliefs, and they see this happening to other human beings, and so they want it to stop, and they never even think about, Sandy, that if very easily that could be happening to people in this country. I mean, you know, as amazing as that is to believe, like you said, we're safe from the two oceans that we have for the most part of people being able to penetrate. But if we make the wrong move and, you know, we don't know what's going to, you're opening up Pandora's box.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. And obviously, we all were raised in the Cold War, and I think we became, numb to the notion that these weapons would actually be used because the detente actually was quite successful. I mean, it wasn't successful in terms of creating world prosperity and world friendship, but there was more or less world peace for the period from 1954 until Vietnam. There was a period of no conflict, and we avoided direct conflict with Russia for essentially the second half of the whole century. So, you know, I think there is a danger that people don't quite perceive because they don't think that rational people would actually use these weapons. But those weapons are going to be used, if they're ever going to be used, in the circumstance in which there seems to be an existential problem for a country. In other words, the country believes that its actual existence is threatened. And Putin is behaving like someone who believes that the Russian Federation existence is threatened. He describes it as being threatened by the incursion of NATO into its front yard in Ukraine. And if we were to begin to shoot Russian planes out of the sky and get into an active war with them, I think that might be the self-fulfilling prophecy that he was talking about. So it is dangerous, and we need to be careful, and we need to figure out what our interests are. Earlier in the show, I pointed out that I thought there was a pathway to peace in which Ukraine would give up Crimea, which is a fait accompli already anyway, and would formally give it up, and that might be grounds for lifting the sanctions on Russia, not just the current sanctions, but the other sanctions, so long as Russia pulled out of Ukraine and agreed to some form of neutrality for Ukraine that would be enforced by the world and not just by Russia. You know, there is a scenario here that could put the world back on track to a peaceful coexistence and would stop the globalization process, which I think is exceedingly dangerous for the world.
So,
I think globalization.
So, Sandy, how much of this is the fact that Putin is saying to America, thumbing his nose at America, he knew what the outcome of this would be as far as the pain that America would inflict upon his country economically. But how much of this is him thumbing his nose and saying, look, enough of the great America. We're not going to continue to bow down. We're coming out of the shadows. How much of it is that, Sandy?
Well, I think a
post-American era, if you will. Era.
A big part of that, and I think there's a whole bunch of the world who is champing at the bit to get to the point of being post-America in terms of having America be able to go around to the world and dictate to people what forms of government they can have, and for the United States to meddle in their internal affairs, because we have basically for the last 50 years been rather actively involved in that kind of activity. I think that we have to step back, as I said, and look even back to last November. Putin, for a long time, since 2010, has been indicating that NATO expanding into Ukraine would be an exceedingly troublesome thing as far as Russia's concerned. And we've ignored that. And we continued to ignore it and flirt with Ukraine. And then in November of last year, we signed a strategic charter with Ukraine that basically started the process of Ukraine being invited into NATO. And I think that put a clock in terms of Putin, that put a clock on Putin's ability to have leverage vis-a-vis Ukraine that was military leverage, because once it was part of NATO, he was going to have to be willing to play the card of taking on NATO entirely, the entirety of NATO in a confrontation about Ukraine. So I think he wanted to make sure that confrontation occurred before Ukraine became a part of NATO. And so I think that's what created the timing for this invasion. And then the question is whether NATO and whether Ukraine and the rest of the world supporting Ukraine during the negotiations that led up to the war were being realistic with Ukraine about what Ukraine ought to accede to. The main thing that brought the war on was the unwillingness of Ukraine and, I guess, the world supporting it to agree that Ukraine would not become part of NATO. I think if that agreement had been reached in some fashion, I think that the Putin could not have started this war without actually earning the wrath, the real wrath of the United States and the rest of the world, maybe creating the geopolitical interest that would put boots on the ground.
You know, Sandy, the impact of this war, there's no way that not only our nation, but the world doesn't feel the impact of this war. And you know, the world has just been climbing out of the pandemic and has not been able to, you know, become stable. How much more of this before we wind up with a global recession? Is it possible?
A global recession is altogether possible. I would predict that it's altogether probable. I think this war is a huge event. I think the sanctions and the isolation of various economies is going to have a huge effect. I think the effect it's going to have on China is going to be substantial. I think that's one of the reasons that China in the last day or two has begun, it seems, to put pressure on Russia to stop the war, because I think China can see the writing on the wall that, you know, that this is going to affect the global economy, and China is entirely dependent on the success of the global economy for the success of their own economy. I woke up reading this morning a bunch of pieces that relate to essentially the economic impacts.
So, Sandy, hold that thought. Let's do this. Let's do that on the other side. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is my guest. We'll be right back.